Welcome to Kingdom Living Today with Pastors Desiree and Angelo Andrews, broadcasting live from Sounding the Alarm Kingdom Ministries in Tallahassee, Florida. Now, let's join them for a word from God just for you.
Thank you for joining me and my special guest, Dr. Marva Brewington of Setting the Captives Free in Marietta, Georgia. Dr. Brewington, how are you today?
I am blessed. I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself, Pastor Des?
I'm doing great. And I just want to thank you again for taking this opportunity to being with us here on Kingdom Living Today. And I want to jump right in, and I want you, if you will, just go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I am a mother of two beautiful daughters. I have one that's graduating from college in the spring, and I have another one that's a junior in high school. I'm also a wife of 22 years, so an awesome man of God.
Amen.
He's been a tremendous support to me throughout this time that we've been together. Not only has he supported me ministry-wise, but he has definitely been there and been very instrumental in helping me through some critical times in my life. I was born and raised, believe it or not, my accent probably deceives many, but I was actually born and raised in the city of Chicago.
Okay.
I'm the youngest child of three. I spent probably half of my adult life, well, young life, all the way up through early part of my 20s there in Chicago. And I was kind of given the nickname of Secret by one of my aunts because I kind of came along a lot later than my other siblings. My sister is 13 years older than me. My brother's 11 years. So there's a big difference in age. And so my mother kind of kept that for, I guess, a secret for a while. But God had a plan for me. He had a need for me to be here. And matter of fact, my childhood was not the typical one. I basically was one who kept a lot of things to myself. Because I experienced quite a bit as a child that most young people probably don't go through. And because of some of the things that I experienced, I kind of felt as though people would look at me different or that I was a bit strange or I would be a bit misunderstood. And I guess the few times that I did attempt to try to share some of this with some others, you know, some of them just kind of chalked it off a little bit. I was the type of child that could see into the spirit realm.
Okay.
So I could see in the spirit realm. Good and bad. So I've had experiences with seeing angels as well as other kind of spirits as well. And I just remember being so frightened, being so young, just being so frightened many nights with the covers pulled over my head because I would have these visitations. And then not growing up necessarily in an environment that could really relate to that, it, you know, kind of probably seemed a bit strange, not to me, but it would be strange as well and weird to other people too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would also experience a lot of dreams that most oftentimes would come to pass as well. So I kind of spent a lot of my time calling out to God quite a bit during this time of my life. I was one that went to church. I believed in God, but my relationship didn't quite develop until my early adult years. And I think probably because of this lack of relationship, I probably would attribute that to my troubled youthful life. I was one that was very emotionally kind of distraught. I was a very sad child. I probably did a really good job of covering it up and hiding it from most people. But I spent a lot of time in my room to myself just crying. Mm. I've been wounded and hurt on the inside in so many different ways. So I was a true emotional train wreck. And I had a lot of emotional baggage that was going on, and I basically was pretty messed up and was kind of looking for fulfillment probably in all the wrong places. So I guess my unhappiness with life and myself was probably one of the number one reasons why I decided to move here to Georgia. Basically, I think I was running.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't quite sure what I was running toward at the time, but I definitely was running and trying to get away from the turmoil that was in my life. But, you know, praise God, I believe all things work together for the good. Because by the time I moved to Georgia, I probably had only been here for about 3 months or so before I met my husband at the time. Of course, I wouldn't have known that was going to be my husband. We were just friends.
Uh-huh.
But
okay.
I met him 3 months into my time that I moved here. And as I mentioned earlier, he's been so instrumental in helping me through those critical points and critical times in my life. And then soon after I met him, probably a couple months later, I ended up meeting a lady who ended up working at one of the first jobs that I had here in Georgia. She happened to be a minister's wife. And she ended up inviting me to her church. She attended an apostolic prophetic church. And this church happened to be the very first place where I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord.
Amen.
So even though I grew up in the church, as I said earlier, I didn't have a relationship with God. I knew there was a God. I believed in God. I spent a lot of time crying out to the Lord. He certainly spent a lot of time, I think, trying to get my attention at such a young age. But I didn't really accept him until after I had moved here to Georgia. And at that point, my life started changing for the better. And then probably not long after that, I started having more frequent dreams and visions from God that were more spiritual in nature than even before. And matter of fact, that's where my calling came from. God gave me a series of three dreams where the Lord showed me specifically what he was calling me to do. And that was that I was to minister the gospel to set people free.
Okay.
So I couldn't quite understand it fully at the time, and I was afraid, and I had a lot of bondage and things, captivity that was still going on the inside of me. So I literally ran from the voice of the Lord from years. For years and years, I told God, no, not me. But I couldn't run anymore. So I finally accepted my calling, and it wasn't until after I had became married and I had my oldest daughter, and when she was born, at that point, I decided to yield and surrender my life over to the Lord. And I've been in ministry ever since.
Amen. Well, I mean, I can certainly see at a young age, when you're seeing into the spirit realm, I can definitely see where people would be afraid, or you not even understanding and seeing and realizing what is going on. And it, especially if you don't have those people around in ministry who are trained and able to help you understand what you're seeing, I can understand that. But we just thank God for how he brings it all together. And as you said, he showed you in a series of dreams what your ministry would be. So with that, tell us about your ministry.
Sure. Well, before I go into my ministry, just a little bit, I do attend church regularly at Covenant Christian Ministries here in Marietta, Georgia. My covering and overseer pastor is Pastor Frederick T. Anderson, Sr. First Lady is Vanessa Anderson. Been a part of that ministry probably for the last 16 years, and he as well has been very instrumental in grooming me up in ministry, training me in the things of God, helping to build character, helping me to get ready for such a time as this.
Amen.
And so with that, I have been propelled into my own ministry. God has implemented that and had, like I said years ago, had shown me by way of dreams exactly what my ministry would be, and it would be to set the captives free. So that's the name of the ministry. It's the internet ministry, where it's entitled Setting the Captives Free, One Word at a Time. And the mandate that God has placed on my life, it comes really out of Isaiah 61:1, where Isaiah the prophet prophesied about the role that Christ would play in the life of the believers. And that scripture basically says that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release darkness for the prisoners. And so our mandate, the mandate that God has placed upon my life, is simply that: to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prison to those that are bound. So with this internet ministry, I do quite a bit in terms of social media. I do a lot of teleconferencing. I do shoot out quite a bit via Facebook, as well as Twitter, as well as some other social networks that I use, but also have a few calls that I do. I have our Get Set Free Saturday morning prayer call that at this time is once a month, the very first Saturday of each month. I do pray in reference to whatever theme the Lord gives me, and I have people on the call, and we're praying, and we believe in God, and we're setting the captives free in the spirit realm through avenue of prayer and intercession.
Mm-hmm.
And then every Monday, there's a call that I host entitled Mandate Monday. And with that is a word, exhortation, a rhema word from the Lord that goes forth, that again ministers into the hearts and to the minds of the people of God. And the whole motive behind that is to set the people of God free with the word of God. Thus the name, Setting the Captives Free, One Word at a Time. And then here recently, my husband and I have ventured off into very similar to what you're doing. It's a radio segment program. And it's entitled Get Set Free Real Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that once a month as well. And various themes come forth where we just talk real about certain issues. We do have guest speakers on as well. And they deal with various areas. In the month of August, we had young couple that was on that spoke about their relationship and how they made a decision early on that they were going to do it God's way and they were not going to engage in sexual intimacy until they were married. So we talked about that. And on this month, we're dealing with health and fitness in the body of Christ. And then there's several other topics that's going on the remainder of this year. So that's primarily what we do. Again, I do send out inspirational messages via Facebook as well as Twitter. And we do have our own website as well, where there are messages that the Lord gives me. And I do post those out on my blogs as well. All of the different calls that we have are recorded and they're posted right there on the website so that people can go back and they can listen to it as well.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, go ahead. I'm going to ask you now and then ask you again later on in the program. Tell us how someone can get in touch with you on your website.
Okay, sure. There's a few ways. There's email, so that would be SCF Word. So that's S as in setting, C as in captive, F as in free, scfword@gmail.com. Also, they can send me a Facebook posting. That extension for that is facebook.com/SCF Word, and it's the same extension for Twitter as well. It's @SCF Word, so they can reach me in any of those avenues.
Okay, all right, that's good. And then your website?
Our website address is scfword.wix.com/SCF Word.
Okay, and so if somebody from there, from your website also, because I've been there and I peeped it out, and they can also get on your blog and read all that you have on there as well. Am I correct?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. We have all that listed out there. Every event that we participate in is out there as well. So we definitely do a good job in keeping the people of God informed of what God wants them to know.
Okay, and so your calls, is it the anyone can call, and is there like a number that they can call, and all that I assume is also on the website where they can get more information on how to get on the call and participate with that?
Absolutely, they can get that from the website. I can go ahead and give that now. The primary number that we use to call in for the prayer call as well as our Mandate Monday exhortation call is area code 567-704-3432, and then the access code is 915-313-pound. So again, that's 567-704-3432, and then the access code is 915-313-pound. So that is the number for those two calls, but the number for our radio show is a little bit different. That one is area code 712-432-3011, and it's the same access code, 915-313-POUND. So I'll repeat that one more time. It's 712-432-3011, access code 915-313-POUND.
Amen. Well, don't despair. If you didn't catch it now, Dr. Marva is going to come back at the end of the broadcast and give all of this information again. This is something you definitely want to get connected to, and you definitely want to make sure you have these numbers and the website address and all these the contact information. You want to make sure you have that down. So, like I said, she will come back and give this information again. Dr. Marva, right now, I want to go into, if you will, I know you said you have a prophetic calling on your life and some other things that God is doing in your life. So as a leader in the body of Christ, can you tell us what is God saying to you for his people today?
Yes, absolutely. God oftentimes minister to me by way of, as I mentioned, my ministry and my calling deals with setting the people of God free and going through the emotional baggage and bondage that I have. In particular, God oftentimes deals with me in messages to the people of God, to the body of Christ, in order to set them free. And one of the things that God had shared with me a couple months ago, and it keeps resonating in my spirit, man, is I was laying in bed on one morning, I heard the voice of the Lord say clearly, "No more walls." And I heard that, and I asked the Lord, I said, "Okay, God, you said no more walls. What do you mean by that?" Now, he keeps showing me different glimpses of what he means by that. Now, one portion of that I have on the website already, but even as I went into more intercession and more prayer and spent time with the Lord some more, he began to share this with me. And he said, "It's time for spiritual walls that have been propped up in our lives to fall down." In essence, what God is saying is that there have been obstacles and hindrances, almost like these impenetrable walls, these fortified places that have been erected in the lives of so many people that's preventing them from walking in their purpose and fulfilling the plan of God that's upon their lives. Now, as I was asking God about that, he began to share with me even further. He says that some of these walls are there. Why? Because we are our own hindrance device. And I said, okay, God, give me more. And he says, we're standing in our own way. So walls won't fall down because too many of us are trying to deal with things and issues in the natural. And God is saying, get rid of the fleshly weapons. This is not a flesh and blood battle. It's a spiritual battle. And the weapons of our warfare, he says, are not carnal. They're mighty through him, God said, to the pulling down of every stronghold. So in essence, what have we been doing? We've been trying to fight a battle that's not ours, but it's his. Yes. And we're entering into warfare, he says, without being battle ready. We've left every piece of armor at home, tucked away in a dresser, in a closet somewhere, cast off to the side. And God has said it's time to pull those weaponries out again. And in particular, the shield of faith, so that we can quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And so God says some of us need to pick up our weapons again. Some of us are picking them up and putting them back down too often. And we have to stay battle ready. But another thing God shared with me as well is that these walls are only going to fall down by faith.
Well,
we have to trust in him. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. But there's going to have to be a complete surrendering unto him. We have to stop depending and relying upon ourselves. And we have to place all of our trust and all our reliance in him. We've already crossed over to Jordan, Pastor Dez, but you know what? We made it to the other side, but now it's time for us to circumcise our heart and to get rid of that fleshly part and to do it God's way. He says we can't force our way into the city.
Mm-hmm.
We can't force our way in there, even though God says that's where we should be. It has to be by faith and not by force.
Mm-hmm.
Same way that those Jericho walls fell. They didn't enter in by force. They enter in by faith.
Yes.
That way was already paid for them. It took them courage, endurance, and dependence on God to walk around those walls 7 times. Why? Because that wasn't a strategy that you would give a military. You wouldn't tell them to walk around 7 times. So to them, that was a bit strange. They had to rely upon God. It wasn't something that they could understand with their own natural inclination. It had to be a walk of faith. So they had to step out in obedience and follow the instruction that the Lord gave them so that those walls could fall down. But it's a spirit of disobedience that's causing our walls to stay propped up. And God is saying, your way has already been made known for you by the Lord. Your purpose has already been defined. You just have to trust him. And we have to stop blaming the devil and everybody else for our lack of advancement. He says, we already overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. So we have to even ask ourselves, what's coming out of our mouth that's causing our walls to remain? What are we saying? What is our testimony? Are we saying things that are contrary to the word of God, and that's the reason why the walls won't fall down? But if we would just speak the word of God and go forth in a faith and obedience, God says every wall is going to fall. So I believe that's the remedy. I believe that's what God wants to share with his people, that the spiritual walls that's been propped up in our lives, it's time for them to fall. But we're going to have to get out of our own way, and we're going to have to walk in a spirit of obedience and a spirit of faith for those walls to come down.
Amen. So, okay, Dr. Marva, you're saying that all of this time people are facing things, and some of these things are because they are standing in their own way. They're blocking their own blessings. They're blocking their own destinies. And really all they have to do is just stand in faith.
They just have to stand in faith and just trust God. They have to get out of the way. So many times we're standing in the way of God, and we're trying to play the Holy Spirit. We're trying to play God's role instead of letting God be God. We have to know that God is in control of our situations. He is a just God, and he's a faithful God, and he's true to his promises. All of his promises are yes and amen. So we have to just get in agreement with what the word already has said for us.
Amen. That is so true. So I know I hear you and I understand what you're saying and I'm loving it. But I want you really to delve into this, because there are so many people who are out there and they say, I love God, I trust God. But yet and still, when you see some of their actions don't really speak to the fact that they trust God. Because if you're standing in faith, believing that God is going to do something, yeah, you might fall, you might waver, but you don't give up. So what would you say to that? Someone who says, well, yeah, I trust God and I believe God, but
there had to learn how to put the but on the right side of that statement.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to say, but God. I may have this issue, I may have this circumstance, but God. Instead of the other way around. This is going on, that's going on, but this. Mm-hmm. We have to learn how to say, but God. And we have to stand on the word. There's a difference between mental assent. There's a difference between mental assent and trusting and having faith in the Lord. Mental assent says this. It says, I believe what the word of God has to say. I know the word of God says that by his stripes I am healed. That's mental assent. You understand what the word says. You can quote it. You can speak it. You know that it says that. But when you're trusting God and when you have faith in God, your faith is going to resonate on the inside of you to where there's nothing, no matter what the doctor tells you, no matter what the report says, there's nothing that's going to sway you away from the word of God. And the only way that you can move yourself from mental assent to faith is to spend time in the book. You have to spend time in the presence of the Lord. And as you spend time in the presence of the Lord, he's going to begin to minister to you. But I think so many times what's happening with Christians is they are Christians, yes, by name alone and by the fact that they have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord.
Hmm.
But Christian means to be Christ-like.
Yes.
So if we're to be like Christ, we have to do what Christ would do. Christ went around healing all manner of sickness and disease. And the word of God even lets us know that we can lay hands upon ourselves and we shall recover. So if Jesus went around laying hands on others and took away sickness and disease by way of the laying on of hands, what more can we do for ourselves?
Well, that's
so we have to learn how to operate in this walk and not just talk a good talk, but walk the walk as well.
Mm-hmm. That's good right there. That is so good because there are so many people who are, like you said, they're Christians. They believe, but they leave it right there. And it's almost like they want God to do everything for them. But in this walk, there's some things that we have to do. We have to, as it said, exercise our faith. And in exercising our faith, we know we're dependent on God. It's almost like our faith puts a demand on God.
Yes. Amen. Amen. It does. And your faith is going to pull and draw out from whatever it is that you need from the Lord. It's going to pull it out of there because God honors faith because he's faithful.
Yes. Amen. Well, and I just believe that a lot of people are getting hung up because, you know, they're looking at how the things are shaping up in the world. And we're saying we know God can do it, but will he? And we're believing. But like you said before, we are standing in our own way. If we just learn to stand out of our way and let God do it. I like that song. It says even it's a saying that says, let go and let God. So we have to let go, get out of the way and allow God to do it because we just really, I have preached this message many times before. We have to get back to Bible basics and believing that the word will do exactly what the word says it will do. So Dr. Marva, what else can you tell us about what God is saying to us? Most of the time people just need to, like you say, get in the word and then they will be able to hear the word and receive the word. So what else can you tell us about that?
Well, it's going to come out of personal relationship with the Lord. There's a scripture over in Psalms 91 that I just love. It says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he's my refuge and fortress. He's my strength. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And in that same passage of scripture, it talks about plague, and it says no plague shall come near our dwelling place. It talks about him giving the angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. All of that comes from spending time with God. As you're in his presence, that's the place where the enemy can't intervene. So we have to even come to a point and a place of understanding what it means to be in the presence of the Lord and just basking right there, staying at the master's feet. Because I think most of us as Christians want to have a microwave relationship with the Lord. Something quick and something fast.
Well,
you get in a 5-minute devotional in the morning, you spend 5 minutes in prayer, and you're on your way out the door.
Mm.
How can God move in your life? How can you even hear from the Lord if you have that type of relationship with him?
Right.
It's going to take some quality time with him. And as you draw near to him, the word of God says, he's going to draw near back to you. But most of us aren't spending time drawing near to God. And when we are, we're spending more time asking God for stuff right. instead of just worshiping Him and just being in His presence and just thanking Him for who He is.
Yes.
There's a lot that will come out of a place of worship. God will spend time ministering back to us. As we minister before the Lord, He ministers back unto us. But we have to get into that place of worship. It says those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, because God is spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about building relationship. And I really believe that this is where a lot of the people of God are missing it, is that their relationship with God has not been built. It has not been solidified. It has been at that same level of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord, but we have not moved past our salvation experience.
Mm-hmm.
We have not entered into that place of relationship. And that is where the God is desiring all of us to be, at a place of relationship with Him. Because that's why He created us. He created us to have fellowship with Him. He created us to have relationship with Him. He enjoys conversation. That's the reason why you can find Him even in the garden, in the book of Genesis, speaking and talking to Adam during the cool of the day. Because that's what He desires. He desires fellowship. God is looking for our fellowship. He's looking for our relationship. He's not just looking for that paying homage attitude that we often have. Well, I'm just going to give my due diligence to the Lord because I know that God expects me to pray. So I'm going to get in here and I'm going to spend my 5 or 10 minutes with God. I'm going to get in here and I'm going to read my devotional. But are you allowing the Word of God to permeate on the inside of you? Are you allowing it to saturate on the inside of you? Because truly, when it gets down to the root of the thing, that is how you're truly going to be able to stand. No matter what the storm is, no matter what the situation is in your life, you will be able to stand in the midst of that thing, because if you have Word on the inside of you, if you even think about, and oftentimes uses as an example, Jesus, when He was in the wilderness, when He was in the wilderness experience and the enemy was there testing Him and tempting Him during that time, the only way that the devil the only reason why he fled at the end of that temptation is because Jesus kept quoting what the Word said.
Yes.
Every time the enemy came at Him with a situation or with a temptation, He always says, "It is written. It is written. It is written." Which lets you know, you can't just say it one time and be done with it. You have to say it as many times as the enemy is persistent. We have to be just as consistent.
That's right.
So I say it again. As many times as He is persistent in our life, we have to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be consistent with the Word of God. And we have to let them know. We know what the Word of God has to say.
Yes.
And we're not going to back down from it.
Yes. Amen. Amen. And everything that you have said, oh, that is so good. It has blessed my soul on today. And I'm quite sure there's someone else who this is helping out, because truly we need to know that, number one, we can depend on God. Number two, we have to spend time with Him and not just treat Him like some casual acquaintance, but just like we talk to one another, we talk to our spouses, or we talk to our children or our parents, we have to spend that time with God and allow that relationship to grow. And that should be one of the primary relationships that we focus on in nurturing. So Dr. Marva, again, I want to thank you for that Word. Thank you for everything that you have said and for your obedience in allowing God to use you to give us, the people, what He is saying, giving the Word for His people on today. So we have a few minutes left. With that, I wanted to go back and, if you will, tell us how people can, if they want to get in touch with you again, let us know again your ministry and the different ways that they can contact you.
Okay. So again, the name of the ministry is Setting the Captives Free, One Word at a Time. And I can be found via Facebook, facebook.com/SCF Word. That's S is in setting, C is in captives, F is in free, SCF Word. That's also the same extension for my Twitter account as well, SCF Word. Also, website address where you can go online. You can listen to all of our recordings for our prayer calls, as well as our recordings for our Mandate Mondays, which is our exhortations and the Rhema Word that God has shared with us every time that we met. That's there, as well as our spiritual blogs where God is speaking directly and ministering directly to our hearts and to our spirits. That website address is scfword.wix.com/scfword. And once again, the telephone numbers, if you're desiring to listen to any of those calls, the prayer call as well as the Mandate Monday call, once again, that number is area code 567-704-3432. The access code is 915-313-pound. And if you're desiring to enter into any of our radio show programs, the different themes and things that we're speaking of, that is a different call-in number, the one that we're having on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. this Tuesday, Eastern Standard Time, is 712-432-3011, the same access code as the others, 915-313-POUND.
Amen. Thank you again so much for all that you do for the body of Christ and for joining us here on Kingdom Living today. Well, Pastor Marva, I want to give you the last word. If there's something else you would like to say, we just want to thank you again for just joining us, and I'm going to let you have the last word.
Okay, thank you. And I just wanted to make sure, I think you said Pastor Marva, not a pastor, but wanted to make sure I cleared that up. But I am a minister of the gospel. I appreciate the opportunity that was given to me to share with the people of God on this evening. And I certainly enjoyed it, Pastor Dez, and I appreciate your time as well and for the invitation. And hopefully we'll have opportunity to do some fellowship again.
Amen. All right, you be blessed.
Okay, thank you, you too.
Dear John, uncontrolled high blood pressure is serious, and I can quit whenever I want. But when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
To get your high blood pressure to a healthy range, visit heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Kingdom Living Today. Now, let's go into the sanctuary for today's word.
Praise God. Today, I want to talk to you about, who are you? Do you know who you are? Who are you? Do you know who you are? And I start this because there are many people who identify themselves as being Christians. But in identifying yourself as being a Christian, do you really know who you are? When you identify yourself as a Christian, do you realize that you are representing the one who has sent you? And who has sent you? If you say you are a Christian, then that means you are sent of Christ. That means you are sent of God. And so we need to honor that. We can look at it in a couple of different ways. We can look at it as an ambassadorial relationship. That is, that you are an ambassador of Christ. And as such, he is your higher authority. He is your master. You follow his orders. You do what he has told you to do. We can also look at it from the point of view of a parent-child relationship. And many will understand that relationship because all of us in here have parents. And some of us in here have children. So you can understand it from that point of view, whereas you as the parent, if you tell your child to do something, you expect them to get it done. You can look at it from the viewpoint of a child, where if your parent tells you to do something, you know you had better get it done. Otherwise, there will be consequences. So it is with God. If you have taken on his character, if you have taken on his nature, if you have said and proclaimed that you are his, that you belong to him, then there are certain things that he tells us to do. And he makes it plain for us because he puts it all right here in his word. There are certain things that he wants us to do and certain things that he doesn't want us to do. And when we begin to transgress and go into those things that he doesn't want us to do, just like as a parent relationship, parent-child relationship, if you tell your child to do something, or if you as the child does something your parents have told you not to do, then there are consequences to the action that you did, consequences to the action that you took that you were told not to do. As an ambassadorial relationship, there are also consequences because of the fact that you come and represent the person that sent you. You give out false information if you do not follow or carry out the instructions the exact way that it was given to you. Therefore, you have people who are under you, people who have come to you, who are receiving incorrect or inaccurate information that you have been entrusted by the person that sent you to give out. But yet you're giving out the wrong information. And so because of that, there are also consequences that you have to face. But I want you to understand who you are, because I want you to know the responsibility that is placed on you as a Christian, as an ambassador of Christ, as a child of the Most High King. I want you to know that it's not haphazard that you are who you are. It's not haphazard that you can do the things that you can do. It's not haphazard that you like the things that you like. Your specific preferences, not everybody likes that. I have a daughter that loves to do hair. I, on the other hand, don't like to do hair. But she strives at that because that's what she loves to do. I have a son who loves to cook. Not that I can't cook, but it's not my passion to cook. But that's his thing. He loves to cook and make new dishes and have everybody try them. So it's just different things that has been entrusted to you that has not been entrusted to somebody else. And though somebody may have something similar to what you have, because there are many people who know how to do hair. There are many people who know how to cook. But see, everybody don't have the same anointing. Everybody don't have the same ability to do it in the exact way that you have been given to do it. So you have to understand that whatever thing it is that you like to do, you have to understand that it was given to you in such a way that only you can bring it out. You can develop it. You can make it work. And you can make it bring glory to the kingdom of God. I have a friend who likes to do investigating and is very good at what she does and can find things that many other people would have problems finding. But that's her knack. And so God wants us to take that and use it all for her glory. Understand, like I said, all of these things were already placed down on the inside of you. But it is our job. It is our mission. It is our duty to search down within ourselves. We took communion earlier and one of the scriptures says, but let a man examine himself. Now I understand even in that it was saying examine yourself to see if you're worthy to partake of the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I want you to also examine yourself to find out what is it that God has entrusted you to do that only you can do in the manner that you can do it. See, as I said earlier, you know, there are many people that can do hair. And many people can say, oh, I know how to do hair and claim to do it real well. But there are only certain people that know how to do it just right and fix all those different hairstyles and get it done. There are certain people that they may know how to do hair, but then at the same time, it's only the outward surface. See, because taking care of hair and doing hair, for example, as I'm learning from my daughter, is more than just fixing a pretty style. It's also about taking care of your hair. It's also about going into the treatment, the chemicals and the different things that you put on your hair that will either help it to grow or will make it break off. So it's a lot more to hair care than just the style. But see, everybody is looking at the outward appearance. Everybody's looking at the finished product. Everybody's looking at the end result. But see, God is also concerned about the process through which we use. He's concerned about that because in the process of it all, the message gets tainted. See, we've all experienced that exercise where you start at one room and you whisper something to somebody, and by the time it gets around the other room, get around the room to the other side, the message that was given to that very first person is not what was end up with the last person. We've all probably had an experience like that where we've had that type of exercise done. But see, what you have to understand is it is everybody's personal responsibility to keep the message pure. And as an ambassador, as a child of the Most High, this is our mission too, to keep the message pure. God gives it to us to give to others, for us to live. We are to live by ourselves first and foremost. And he gives it to us that we should be an example of it in our own lives. He gives it to us, we will be able to teach it and show it to others. So we need to make sure that we are able to give what God has given us to others. We need to make sure that we have kept the message pure. And in knowing who you are and doing what you have been called to do, then you will be able to keep the message pure. But see, many people, because they don't know who they are, they are mixed up. They are challenged in one way or the other. And I look at this as a child who may have been brought up in the foster system, a child who may not know who their parents are. And so they go about trying to find out, who am I? They go about trying to find some identity for themselves so that they can have some peace. And then they will be able to run with who they are because they don't know. They don't know. And so because they don't know, they try on different things. They try on different personalities. They try on, as we would say, try on different spirits to see if it fit. But see, we need to, if we understand who we are and who we belong to, then we'll know where we fit in. Many people try to fit in because they want to belong to something. That is one of, as if you've learned in school, one of Maslow's needs, the hierarchical needs, to have a sense of belonging, to know who you are, to know where you belong, where you fit in. Nobody wants to be an outsider. But I'm telling you today that if you are called as a child of the King, you are already an outsider. The Bible tells us this way, that we are a peculiar people. And in being peculiar, there's just some places that we're not going to fit in. There's just some things we're not going to be able to do. So don't think it's strange when people don't gravitate to you necessarily, because there's something different about you. Now, you may have the type of personality that can draw a whole bunch of people in, that can draw a crowd to you, but you need to be able to work that crowd. You need to be able to relate to those people. You need to be able to relate to those who are drawn to you. And if that is the case, and if that's you, if you are the type that people are just drawn to, you understand that you need to understand why people are drawn to you. And then you need to understand and research down within yourself what it is that why they are drawn to you. There's something that God has placed on the inside of you that has allowed these people to be drawn to you. You may be the type where you're quiet and you're reserved. Maybe people are not necessarily drawn to you, but they like to be in your presence. Then you need to understand, why is it that they like to be in your presence? What is it about you that makes them want to be around you? What is it about you that these people are there for? We need to all search within ourselves. And I want you to know that it is there. It is already there. From the time you were born, even before, it was already there. So therefore, we need to research, as I said, ourselves. Research who we are. And in knowing who you are, then you'll be able to do a good job in representing who sent you. If you will, let's turn to Psalm 71, verse 6. Psalm 71 and verse 6, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you." God has upheld you from birth. He took you out of your mother's womb. And therefore, we need to give him praise. We need to honor him and worship him, because it is he who was there for us from the very beginning. Turn to Psalms 139 and 13. 139 and 13. It reads, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." Verse 14 says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." The Bible tells us that he formed my inward parts. He formed us. He knows what he has placed down on the inside of us. He formed your inward parts. And that means all the things that can be seen and all the things that can't be seen. And why do I say that? Because we can't see spirit. But God's spirit is down on the inside of each and every one of us. And he has placed a little bit of himself within us. And the part of himself that he has placed within us, it is us to search out. It is for us to connect with him. It is for us to use to figure out who we are. See, because God is so vast. He is everything to all people. He is all things to all people, as they say. And so because he is all things to all people, we can't be all things to all people. But he has to spread himself amongst us. This is why the Bible talks about the body of Christ. Why it says that some may be a hand, and I'm paraphrasing in this because it doesn't say it quite like this, but why it says that some may be a hand and some may be an eye, or some may be an ear, or some may be an arm, some may be a foot, or some may be a leg, because we all come together. We all fit together. So God has placed within you the ability to fit together somewhere. See, if God has placed in you the ability to be an eye, then he's not going to make you a leg. If God has placed within you the ability to be a foot, then he's not going to make you an ear. Because the purpose that he has for you is going to fit perfectly in the body of Christ, so that when others come around you, you will be able to complement each other and work together in order to accomplish the main goal, What is the main goal? I'm glad you asked. The main goal is to advance the kingdom of God, to spread the good news, because we are all sinners. We have all fallen from grace. But the hope of it is that Jesus Christ came, he died and rose again so that we could be reconciled back to the Father. And so this is the purpose that we live for. So that Ephesians says that until we all come into the unity of the body of Christ, God has given gifts for us to use for our benefit and for the benefit of others. If we will, now let's turn to a very familiar passage of scripture. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. And we all know, we can probably quote this scripture since we know what we're talking about. We know that God has called Jeremiah. God has called us also. But I want you to know that from the very beginning, you were already who you are. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5 reads, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." So you need to know that God was the one that first of all even formed us in the womb. And before he even formed us, before you even the embryo that you became, before you were even that, he already knew you. He already had you in mind of who you were to be and what he wanted you to do, what your purpose would be. He said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." God had you in his mind. He had you on his mind. He already knew you and he already gave you purpose before you were born, before you even came out of your mother's womb, before you even took your first scream, before you even took your first breath. God already had placed within you who you were supposed to be. He already gave you purpose. Before you were born, I sanctified you. He already ordained you. He already gave you what you were supposed to be. He already gave you your calling. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now, all of this was done before you were even formed. So if this was done before you were formed, who are you to change what you are? Who are you to change and say, "No, this is not what I want to do"? But this is the reason why you were made. This is the reason why you were created. This is the reason why you were formed, because he already had need of you in this particular spot that you're in this particular place that you're in. God knows what he is doing. We say, "God knows," but we say it so lightly. We say it in passing just to get the heat off of us. "Oh, God knows." Well, yes, he does know. And if he know, then we need to rely on his knowledge. If we are saying, "Oh, God knows," then we need to take that for what it is and believe that he knows. And therefore, if he know what we are and who we're supposed to be, because he loves us, because he has formed us from the beginning, because he knew us from birth, before we were even formed, do you think he's going to leave us without all the things that we need to accomplish what we need to accomplish? Do you think he's going to leave anything undone for us? If he has called us, just like with Jeremiah, if he has called us, let's just say that because we're staying here with Jeremiah, he called you to be a prophet. Do you think God is going to then put a fearful spirit on you so that you can't speak? A prophet is one who proclaims what thus says the Lord. A prophet is one who foretells. That's not all it is, even though some have relegated a prophet to only prophesying that you're going to get a house and cars and prophesying prosperity. But a prophet also forewarns. A prophet also brings tales of judgment. And that right there takes courage to do that. Not everybody want to stand up and say, well, thus says the Lord. So do you think that God, if he has called you to a prophet, if he has placed that on the inside of you, if he ordained you a prophet from birth, from even before birth, do you think that he is going to also put that thing of fear on you to where you can't accomplish what you're supposed to do? That, my friend, did not come from God. So in whatever capacity that you have been ordained from birth, in whatever capacity it is, understand that God has given you everything that you need in order to do what you have to do. If anything comes to alter that, that is not of God. If anything has come to alter that, that came from the enemy who was trying to keep you from doing that which you have been sent to do. So we need to make sure that we understand who we are and what our purpose is. If we will, let's turn to Romans chapter 11 and 29. Romans 11 and 29. See, because we need to understand who we are so that we can work efficiently in doing what God has called us to do. And God has given us certain abilities. He has given us certain things to do. And therefore, we can do it because he has given it to us. God lets us know that the things that he has given us are not things that can be taken lightly. The things that he has given us are things that can anybody take away from us. So here in Romans 11 and 29, it says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Irrevocable. That means they cannot be taken back. It doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what your mama think. It doesn't matter what your daddy think. It doesn't matter what the person on the outside. It doesn't matter what anybody think. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance, are irrevocable. You can't give it back to God. Even if you wanted to, you can't give it back to him. You may not want to operate in it, but you sure can't give it back to him. It's going to continue to work in some capacity. Whatever it is, it's going to continue to work. But see, whether or not it is effective is up to you. You cannot give it back to him, but if it is not effective, it's because you haven't worked it in the way it is supposed to be worked. Amen. So the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. But it's up to you to develop them. It's up to you to use them the way God has given them to be used. I have one more scripture that I would like for us to turn to. If you will turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And then we're going to go to verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 reads, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble.
Thank you for joining me and my special guest here on Kingdom Living Today. Listen, if you would like to contact us, you can do so by going to our Facebook page at Kingdom Business Ministries or to our website at www.kingdom-business-ministries.org/New Praise Radio. Also, if you would like to send us a love offering or donation, you can send that to Kingdom Business Ministries, Post Office Box 1085, Tallahassee, Florida 32302. Well, until next time, we look forward to fellowshipping with you again here on Kingdom Living Today. Be blessed.